Tonight I'd like us to open our Bibles and just consider one of the prayers of Moses. We'll turn to Exodus 33. Would you say that Moses was an intercessor? You know how he often, time and time again, he had to stand, as it were, in the gap for those people, the people of Israel that he had been called of God to lead out of Egypt. And how many times he pleaded with God, spare them. But I want to begin in this 33rd chapter. There are 23 verses, and the first half and the second, well, there's a first half, and then there's, I think, something you could say, you could put parentheses around, it's parenthetical, you could put that and you could take it out, and you could look at it separately, and then you could continue, and the chapter would flow from that first half, the parenthetical part, to the second half. And I want to just consider the thing that I'm saying as part of the parenthesis, all right? Because that kind of gives us the basis for Moses and his relationship with God. You see, because prayer is based upon relationship. Jesus taught us that. We had that this morning. He said, our Father. Right there, right at the beginning, the relationship is established. I come to God because He is my Heavenly Father. He is my Father. He is our Father. Through Christ and the salvation that we have in Christ, God becomes my Father. My Father. Our Father. And so here in chapter 33, Exodus verse 7, it says this, now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrance to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent of meeting. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshipped, each at the entrance to his tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide, Joshua, the servant of Nun, did not leave the tent. So what do you notice right away? What is taking place here? It's prayer. God descends, as it were, in that cloud that was the visible manifestation of his presence. He had led them by that cloud and the fire by night. And it says when Moses would go out to talk with God, that cloud would descend. And it says it would stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Now, I think these are all aspects of prayer. And we're going to see that in the prayer that Moses prays. We think of prayer as I come to God and I ask things of God. Right? That's prayer. Right? We come with our petitions. That's right. We're told to bring our petitions with thanksgiving. But prayer is more than you and I asking of God. Prayer is God speaking to us. And so it's a conversation. I think that's the idea here. God and Moses are communicating. Moses is asking. God is speaking. God responds. You know, sometimes God brings us into a stillness in a meeting like this. Why does he do that? Well, maybe he wants you to stop asking. Just stop speaking. Just be quiet. And let me work in you. Let me speak to you. Brother Tom quoted the verse, "Be still and know that I am God." Sometimes in our prayers we tell God things that we think he needs to know. Well, let me tell you a secret. He knows already. He knows already. And so our prayer life, he wants to transform that. As we grow in this way, this walk with God, this relationship with God, he wants that to be the foundation of our relationship, where he speaks to us, where we hear his voice. And so Moses is a picture, I think, of what God desires to do. You say, well, Moses was special. He was a great man. He was. And the Bible does say that. Gives that testimony that really there was no one else that had just this unique relationship that Moses had. Yet, I believe it's a picture. It demonstrates to us what is possible if we would seek God, seek his face. I believe he would come to us and we would know him face to face. Now, having said that, that's kind of the backdrop now for this chapter. It's inserted in the middle, but as I said, let's begin at the first verse, and it says this. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Leave this place." Now, again, context is important, right? So what's just happened? Well, if you go back to the 32nd chapter, what had taken place? Moses had been on the mountain. Right, he receives the Ten Commandments, he comes down, and what's taking place? The people are worshiping idols, there's the wild party going on, whatever. You know, you can watch it on TV, in that movie, what took place. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know exactly what took place, but it was not pleasing to God. And it certainly didn't please Moses, and they came down, and there's, what's that noise in the camp? The noise of war? No, it doesn't sound like war, it sounds like they're having a party. Wild party, and whatever it was, Moses was angry and he broke the tablets. You know the story. And God says, "You know, I'm gonna wipe this people out." And Moses intercedes for them, pleads for them, and God punishes them. But then he says this, "Leave this place, you and the people you brought out of Egypt, and go up to the land I promised on oath to Abraham, to Isaac and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I will send an angel before you and drive out the Canaanites, Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites. Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey." Sounds good. So it seems God had forgiven them, right? He did. He repented of what he had said he would do. But now the next statement is this. "But I will not go with you, because you are a stiff-necked people, and I might destroy you on the way." When the people heard these distressing words, they began to mourn, and no one put on any ornaments, for the Lord had said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites, you are a stiff-necked people." Now, what does that mean? English. I mean, that is English, but I mean, like stubborn, right? Rebellious, stubborn. Willful. What did you say?
Thick-headed.
In German, Dummkopf. Is that the same?
I'm not German.
You're not German? I know you're not. But what do you think? All right. We get the picture. So he's telling them, you're a rebellious people. And if I were to go with you, even for a moment, I might destroy you. Now take off your ornaments, and I will decide what to do with you. So the Israelites stripped off their ornaments at Mount Horeb. All right, and then if you just skip now the part that talked about Moses and you go down to verse 12, now this is how Moses responds. This is precipitates or causes Moses to pray the way he does. God had said, I'm not going with you. So what does Moses say? Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know with whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found grace with me. If you are pleased with me, now here's his request, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find grace or favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. And so the first request he makes of God is for God to show him or to teach him God's ways. Lord, teach me your ways. Is that a good place, a good prayer to pray? Lord, teach me your ways. Again, it's not so much I need this, I need that, or I need the other thing. But Lord, first and foremost, teach me your ways so that I may what? Know you. Lord, I want to know you. And I want your grace to continue upon my life. I mean, I think that's a prayer that we all could pray. I think it expresses a desire that's maybe a little deeper than just, Lord, bless me. Now, I know that we say that a lot, right? We pray that, Lord, bless. And I know that we mean that. I mean, that God would bless. He knows how to bless, right? I think that's the way I like to say. But we can be specific as Moses was and specifically say, Lord, I want to know you. Is God a God who desires to be known? Does he want us to know him? Now, again, I talked a little bit about this the other day. It's not about just knowing about God. But God desires that we know him. That's relationship. That's intimacy. That's more than, you know, good morning, Lord, bless me on this day. And then and bless the food. I forgot that. Remember that. And then we go, no, there's something more that God wants. He wants to be our friend. As our sister Caitlin here testified, I believe Jesus wants to satisfy us. And that's not just for the old people. Jesus wants to satisfy each one of us. We've got to pray for our young people. Lord, come to them in such a way that they would experience you and know that you satisfy. Jesus satisfies my every longing, and he keeps me singing all along the way. And so, Lord, show me your ways. Teach me your ways so that I may know you and that your grace would continue upon me. Now, how does the Lord answer that? See, this is what I like about this. Because it's not just Moses asking, but God speaks to Moses now. In response to his request, God answers him. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. My presence. Now, God had said he wasn't going to go, right? See, but Moses didn't take that as the final word. Because he knew that God was what? Was merciful. He knew that God was gracious. And so now God responds, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. You know, just to be clear, we talk about that God's presence is here, and here, that's the phrase or the way it's presented. My presence will go. What is God saying? Well, if God's presence is going with them, then God is going with them. If I'm present in this room, it means I'm here, right? I can't be here if I'm not here. I mean, if I'm not present. You understand? So let's not confuse it. It's not like it's some... When we say his presence is here, it means God is here. So God says, I'm going to go with you, and I will give you rest. Now, just a little aside on that thought of rest. It doesn't mean that you're going to get a good sleep. How many of us need a good sleep? Be honest, because I look around and I know that you all need a good sleep. All right? But that's not what it means when he says, I will give you rest. I think the idea of rest in this context, again, and is that that land of Canaan, that promised land, was the rest that God had promised for his people. It speaks of a place of safety. It speaks of a place of security. It speaks of a place of your own. It's a place where you can dwell. That's their rest. So what he was saying was, yes, I've told you to go up to that promised land that I promised to your forefathers, and my presence is going to go with you, and I'm going to bring you. I will give you that promised rest. It's like I'm going to fulfill the promises I made to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And that's the kind of God, beloved, that we serve, that we pray to, that we communicate with, a God who keeps his word. You know, that last request that Moses had made, or the thing he added on the end, he says, remember that these are your people. They're your people. These are the people that you called out. These are the descendants of Abraham, of Isaac, and of these are your people. And so bring them into that rest you promised. And God says, I will do it. Does he say that to us? If you would say, Lord, go with me to school today, or go with me to wherever I need to go. Go with me on this. Do you think God would say, no, I can't go with you today? Martin, maybe tomorrow I'll go with you. No, he wouldn't say that. He's waiting for us because he desires to walk with us, to be present in every moment of our lives. All right, there's more. Verse 15, as the conversation continues. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? So what is God saying? Or, I'm sorry, what is Moses saying here? I think he's saying that, Lord, the thing that makes us your people is not so much that even you've given us the Ten Commandments or you've given us these regulations that we need to keep, but the thing that truly makes us your people is that you are with us. And I had to think about that. What sets us apart as Christians? What is it that should mark our lives as believers? What should it be? Should God be with us? Should we walk in his presence? And I had to think, what does Jesus say about that? Well, in the New Testament, he says this, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have what? Love one for another. Do you think that the manifestation of the love of God is an indication that he is with us? That he is in us? And that's one of the things I think that shows the presence of God among his people. Love. If we don't have love among us, then I don't know if we really are truly the people of God. Love is so important. By this will all men know. That's the mark. That should be the distinguishing mark that God is with us. Now, there are other things that distinguish the people of God. How else is his presence, if you want to say, manifest among us? Should we be a happy, joyful people? Should there be a song in your heart? What do you think? Oh, I don't know about that. Yes. Singing praises to our God. He inhabits the praises of his people. And so his presence among us, manifest by love, by singing, by joyfulness. What else?
Peace. Do you have peace? Is there peace in your home? It's one of the prayers that I pray. Lord, I want my home to be a place where your peace rests. That when people come into my home, they'll experience your peace. You know, the world is full of confusion. The world is full of activity. There's no rest for the Spirit. Our homes ought to be a place where God's peace rests. And that's only possible as He comes, and He is the Prince of Peace. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And Moses said, it has to be that way, Lord. Otherwise, we're not moving from here. Verse 17, the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you, and I know you by name. Now, again, it's a wonderful thing when God is able to say, I'm pleased with you. Think of who else God said that of in the Bible. His Son, right? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And now, what about you and me? Does He say that about us? I think He does. I believe He does. As we endeavor to walk with Him and please Him, He bears that testimony. Well, there's my son, there's my daughter. They're walking in a way that pleases me. And then the next thought, and I know you by name. Now, what do you think when God says that to Moses? I know you by name, Moses. What do you think He's saying? Well, I think that's a personal thing, right? I know you individually. I know your name. Does God know your name? And so I tell the kids, God knows your name and He knows where you live. He knows your address. God knows us by name, beloved. God so loved the world, but He knows you and me by name. Jesus made that clear. He said, not one sparrow falls that your Father doesn't know. And how much more you? Your Heavenly Father knows. He sees you. He knows all about you. He knows you by name. Another thought would be that He has put His own name upon us. We are Christians. And we are to be just like Jesus. Now, does Moses stop? No, he has another request. One more. What does he say? In verse 18, then Moses said, now show me your glory. Show me your glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have to, you know, I said, why do I think these are amazing prayers of the Bible? Well, all the Bible prayers are amazing, right, Brother Paul? But I told him I would try to say why this is amazing. I think it amazes me because it just shows me how maybe shallow sometimes my own prayers are. Here Moses ends with this thought, show me now your glory. Look, I just want you to reveal yourself to me. I just want to see you. I want to see you in all your glory. Can you just give me a glimpse? And the Lord is so gracious, He says, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you. I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion.
but you cannot see my face, for no one will see me and live. Then the Lord said, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. And so just in closing, this thought, there is a place that God has for us. There is a place by me. You know, God responds to our desire, and I think he responded to the desire of Moses' heart. You know, Moses had a great responsibility placed upon him. And I believe the only way, the only reason he was able to fulfill was because he had this close, intimate relationship with his God. And so under those pressures of life, of the care of a million plus people, Moses found his strength in God. There's a place by me, Moses. I'm going to cover you with my hand, and I'm going to pass by. And so I'd like to encourage us, encourage myself. I want to pray the prayers that honor my God. I want to pray prayers that bring glory to his name. I want to pray prayers that express the desires, holy desires that he puts within me, to know him. Lord, show me your ways that I may know you. Lord, I want your presence with me. I don't want to go out. I don't want to step out into the day. I don't want to step out from the front of my house unless I know that you are with me and that you're walking with me in this day. That's why we're encouraged to spend time in the mornings before we leave the house, before you do anything else. Get in touch with God. And Lord, show me your glory. I want to see you at work. I want to see you answer prayers. I want to see you change lives. I want to see you make my life a blessing. Show me your glory. You see, it seems that if you read the next chapter, and we're not going to do that, but the manifestation of God's glory and his greatness is not the fact that he created everything. That's one aspect. But the thing that he focuses on is the fact that he is gracious and long-suffering, and that he is a God who abounds in mercy and love and forgives us. Isn't that wonderful? The thing that makes God great, the thing that brings glory, as it were, the display of his glory, is the fact that he gave himself to redeem sinners. That he is a God who is merciful and gracious. Is that the God you want to know? Is that the God that you want to have fellowship with? Yes, yes, yes. And he's made it possible through Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. And so tonight, I trust we can just spend a little time in prayer before our God and just allow him to draw our hearts. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray like Moses prayed, Lord. Lord, not only that we would speak with you, but that you would speak to us. Voices of earth unnumbered I hear, cares and perplexing problems are near. Trusting in thee, my soul will be free.
grant me a closer walk with Thee. So, Lord, give us that grace to be able to hear Your voice amidst the clamor around us, the voices that call. Help us to hear Your voice. May Your voice be precious to us. My sheep know My voice, and they follow Me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.